It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it!
Say my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Doors by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
This is the moment that Chris Paul says he was built for.
He embraces this moment going against his former team.
Houston got its hands on it. Dort for three, blocked by Harden. Dort got it back. Tried to throw it off Harden and missed him. It's Rockets basketball with 0.5 to go.
What an incredible ending to a really hard-fought series. James Harden with the block, the play of the game on Lou Dort. Russell Westbrook with the tip and the deflection to seal the game at the end of regulation. Just the MVP level play by Robert Covington on both ends of the basketball court. My goodness, what's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and of course the blog at ClutchCityCR. The Rockets are moving on to the second round of the NBA playoffs to take on the Los Angeles Lakers after an intense, heart-pounding Game 7 win against the Oklahoma City Thunder, coming down to the absolute wire in a 104-102 W. That block by James Harden, just that was his playoff moment. It's happened. That block has erased. I don't ever want to see the picture of the Manu Ginobili block on James Harden ever again, because that block replaces that moment. That block was so clutch on a night where he just did not have it offensively. The man was 4 of 15 shooting from the floor, could not buy a three-pointer. And then on the other end, Lou Dort, who was OKC's MVP, who posted 30 points on 6 of 12 shooting from behind the arc. It was like James Harden and Lou Dort Freaky Friday'd or something. You know, they're hanging out at the Grand Floridian and they just so happen to brush shoulders, and then bam, suddenly James Harden can't shoot the ball anymore and Lou Dort becomes prime Ray Allen. Just that block was everything and then some. I need the photo of that block put in every museum here in Houston from here until the end of the Rockets playoff run. That was inspired basketball by James Harden making a play to help seal the game. And then Russell Westbrook at the very tail end of that game, you know, on the final inbounds possession, getting just a finger on that pass as it's headed to Steven Adams. And then Steven Adams kind of bobbles a little bit. PJ swats it further down the court, and then it's game over. Just beautiful defensive basketball down the stretch in this one from the Houston Rockets. Just to put that in reference, how good these guys were defensively at the end of this game, the Thunder only had 2 made field goals over the final 8 minutes and 20 seconds of the game. They only scored 8 points from the 8 minute and 20 second mark until the final buzzer. The Rockets' defense was locked in and absolutely impressive down the stretch of this. And their offense, however ugly it looked for stretches of this game, was just enough to get it done. And they executed. Down the stretch, they absolutely executed. They did what we needed to see them do, which was execute down the stretch. Such a great win. And I'm just really happy that we're not having to talk about a loss, because that would have been heart-wrenching for this season. The way that it's gone, the way that it started, and then with the bubble hiatus and all of that, I would have been in quite a bit of pain for my first season as the host of Locked On Rockets to have to talk about a gut-wrenching Game 7 loss. But we don't have to do that now, and it is phenomenal, and I'm excited about it. I also want to talk about Robert Covington for a minute, because even though James Harden had the play of the game, absolutely, James Harden had the play of the game with that block on Lou Dort, Robert Covington, man, he was this game's MVP. And I'm before the Westbrook stands listening get upset, I am going to give Westbrook his due. I'm going to give him his credit in segment two, because Westbrook, I think, was the driving force through much of this game and was the reason that the Rockets kind of stayed in this one. But I'm going to focus on Robert Covington for a split moment. And his offense in this game, the 21 points, 6 of 11 three-point shooting, his timely three-point makes, and his defense, he was the best player on both ends of the court for the Houston Rockets. I feel safe in saying that. James Harden obviously orchestrated a lot of those shots. James Harden finishing with 9 assists, 17 points, 4 of 15 shooting. Not the usual offensive explosion from James Harden, but he was absolutely steering and quarterbacking the offense. But Robert Covington, I think, was the MVP on both ends of the courts for the Rockets. 21 points, 6 of 11 three-point shooting, 7 of 15 overall, had 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, 1 really crucial block there at the very... Everything that Robert Covington brought in this game was something else. And he's brought this now 3 games in a row. And the shooting specifically has been such a welcome sight after him struggling for so long. And look, I got to give credit to Eric Gordon too. He picked a hell of a game to return to form with his shooting. 6 of 11 from the floor, 5 of 9 from behind the arc, 4 of 4 at the charity stripe, grabbed some rebounds, dished out a couple assists. He did have... a handful of five turnovers. Not a great stat line, not a great number to look at for Eric Gordon, but as a team, the Rockets cut down on the turnovers by 10. Only 12 turnovers in this one, as opposed to the 22 from last game. And you know what? The Thunder only scored 12 points off of those 12 Rockets turnovers. Meanwhile, the Rockets forced 22 turnovers for the Thunder and scored 28 points off of those turnovers. So the Rockets were absolutely capitalizing defensively. They were everywhere this game. And even, again, the offense was really ugly for certain stretches of this game. But they honed in for the fourth quarter, and they outclutched the most clutch team in the NBA in the Oklahoma City Thunder and Chris Paul. And I could not be more ecstatic about this win right now. So we'll keep talking about this coming up in just one moment. But first, a quick message from our friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is basically impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. And on top of that, chain storefronts have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. Look, they have everything that you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything, and I mean everything, that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. As I mentioned, prices are always going to be the exact same at rockauto.com. Their catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the important part, do me a favor, write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Schroeder, Adams, Gallinari, and Chris Paul on the floor as well.
And Steven Adams just dived to the rim. He's wide open.
Guarded by P.J. Tucker. And they get it blown up. The Houston Rockets blow it up, deflect it away. They tried to get it to Adams, and ball game over. The Houston Rockets advance to take on the Los Angeles Lakers. What a battle!
What a battle it was, as we are in here back at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, talking about the Rockets' impressive Game 7 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. And look, here's the thing, right? Is there's going to be a ton of Thunder fans for the next 2 days on social media saying, you know what, they, 0.4, 0.7% whatever chance to make it to the playoffs. Why are you patting yourself on the back? Why does it matter? These would have been the exact same Thunder fans who were absolutely trumpeting a win over the Rockets. So yeah, it absolutely does matter. The Thunder put up a great fight in this series. They were a tough out. They have been a tough team. And so this was a tough, hard-fought Game 7, and you absolutely pat yourself on the back for dealing with this. This team was the most clutch team in the NBA this year for a reason, because Chris Paul is a monster to deal with down the stretch of games when they are close. He is the point god for a reason, but it didn't matter in this one. The Thunder came up too short, the Rockets win, and now they move on. They've got a fresh slate of games against the LA Lakers coming up starting Friday night. So let's talk for a second about Russell Westbrook. And legitimately in this game, when James Harden did not have it offensively, Russell Westbrook felt like the calming force of the Rockets offense. There were the first few Russell Westbrook possessions in this game, I felt like I normally feel, which is holding my breath, trying to see what's going to happen with the ball with Russ. You know, and it's not a good holding my breath. It's just, okay, is it going to be bad Russ or good Russ? Because I'm sorry, he's just a little too chaotic at times. But that chaos is what makes him so unstoppable, you know, as a force on the basketball court. And tonight, though, and I've seen this version of him before, and you know, for the Thunder fans listening, for the Russell Westbrook fans listening, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes he feels a bit more patient. Like, normally, he's dialed up to 11 and a little bit out of control, but when he dials it back down to, like, 9 or 9.5, that's when he's at his deadliest. And it really felt like that was the case in this game. I know that he finished 9 of 20, you know, 45% shooting overall, but he had some, you know, some bunny misses and whatnot, which is just, you know, that's kind of what I've come to expect from him. But legitimately, he felt like, apart from that one turnaround fadeaway in the first half, it really felt like he was playing within the flow of the offense. He was looking for post-up opportunities to take advantage of the smaller OKC guards. He was really working the system. He only finished with 2 assists, but he set up so many great looks for the Houston Rockets offense. He could have easily finished with probably about 6 or 7 assists total instead of just the 2. It just so happened that the shooters were not hitting on receiving passes from Russ, but he really felt like it genuinely felt like Russ played a more patient game, and you know, only 2 turnovers committed. It felt like he kind of slowed it down and played within the flow of the offense, which is how it felt in Game 5 to me, how he played, you know, in the minutes that he was out there on the court. He just so happened to be a little bit more ingrained offensively in this one than he was in Game 5, and his passing just didn't quite show up on the stat sheet, if only because, again, didn't really feel like the shooters were sinking shots on passes from Russ. There were a couple PJ Tucker corner threes that should have gone in. I think there was a Jeff Green three that was missed, some Daniel House three or two that were missed, just some shots that should have gone in off of passes by Russ. And look, it can't be overstated enough how important some of those 9 rebounds that Russ pulled down were. I mean, some of the rebounds that he secured, you know, 2 of them being offensive, but some of the rebounds that he secured were just, I mean, he was flying above everybody else to grab those rebounds, and some of them could have easily gone towards the Thunder had he not just gone out of his way to make it his goal to secure those boards. And that's energy. That's something that you can't teach. That is just wanting it more than the other guys on the court, and Russ brought a lot of that in this game. But legitimately, very impressed with his performance in this one, just kind of, you know, not exactly taking over the game in the absence of James Harden, but it was a true blue, it was a collaborative team effort. And in the minutes where James Harden was not out there, I'm just impressed that Russ was able to kind of steady the ship a little bit and be that continuous force to keep getting points steadily added to the board and to keep the game close with the Thunder. And then for the final, you know, for the closing lineup to be able to go in there and close things out, no matter how ugly it looked offensively. But everybody really chipped in this one. Eric Gordon, again, you know, talked his stat line, 21 points, 6 of 11 shooting. Daniel House Jr. off the bench, you know, 7 points, 2 of 7 shooting, but, you know, had some amazing hustle plays out there in defense, snagged 7 rebounds. Jeff Green was, they went back to it in this game. They went back to the Jeff Green pick and roll, or using Jeff Green as a screener. And I was so impressed, because 2 of the things that I mentioned in the preview pod, in the what do we know going into this Game 7, was Austin Rivers and or Daniel House need to absorb the minutes that Ben McLemore is receiving. And that's exactly what happened. Daniel House Jr. playing 26 minutes, Jeff Green with 21, Rivers played just 7 minutes, and then the rest of the starters all played heavy minutes in this game. So that's exactly what happened there. And then the second thing was using Jeff Green again as a screener, using him to attempt to get some open looks for Lu Dort, not for Lu Dort, although Lu Dort got his fair share of open looks in this game, but using Jeff Green as a screener to get open looks for James Harden. And they even used him as a screener for Russ a couple times. And that generated not only, getting Harden going downhill, but it generates some open looks for Jeff Green as well, right there on the perimeter. And he showed up to shoot in this one. 5 of 7 shooting overall, 13 points, snagged some rebounds, had a dime. Jeff Green filled his role perfectly in this game 7. PJ Tucker was the one negative offensive force in this game, as well as Austin Rivers. You know, Rivers missed all 5 of his shots, all 4 from behind the arc, 0 points, but, you know, was only in there for 7 minutes, never really got a feel or a flow going in the game. And you know, unfortunately, Austin Rivers isn't, you know, the same catch and shoot type player that, say, Ben McLemore is, but he was in there and he needed to be in there to kind of spell the starters a little bit. Otherwise, you're looking at some of the guys, you know, potentially playing north of 40 minutes in this game. So Austin Rivers' minutes were still useful, especially defensively, staying in front of those quick Oklahoma City guards. So I'm not going to fault him too much offensively. And then PJ Tucker, you know, for what he did, he had the game-winning field goal for the Rockets. He had the field goal that put the Rockets up 2 at the very tail end of the game. That little shot put, pump faking on the three-point line, and then that little shot put to drive it in and just kind of flip the ball up there after missing so many of his three-pointers in this game. Just 1 of 7 from behind the arc for PJ Tucker. But damn, if he didn't bring so much energy to the table, fighting for loose balls every single time you saw him come down with a rebound in, you know, with any Thunder players nearby, even some Rockets players, you know, just tearing the rebound out of the air viciously, and then, you know, waving his shoulders around to, you know, knock out anybody who's nearby him to clear the board effectively before passing it off to Russ or Harden. You know, those are man-sized rebounds, and PJ Tucker is absolutely a man and played like it in this game, having to battle Steven Adams, a guy who's, you know, a head taller, probably outweighs PJ Tucker by at least 50 to 60 pounds. I mean, you know, dealing with that guy all series is impressive as all hell. So PJ Tucker gets a pass from me on his offensive output in this game. Coming up, just a moment, we'll have our final segment, final thoughts about this game and, you know, everything that it means moving forward for this team. So we'll get there in just one moment.
Not your typical offensive night, but that defensive stop, you let out a scream afterwards. What were you feeling at that moment?
Offensively, I played like shit. Excuse my language, but I couldn't make a shot, turn the ball over, just doing everything that was not supposed to happen, but I just kept sticking with it. You know, my teammates give me confidence throughout the course of games, and defensively, I had to make a play, and I tried to close out to him. Dort has been knocking down some shots tonight, so I want to get out to him.
Offensively, I played like shit. How can you not absolutely love this man? Look, just for those that didn't know, James Harden does actually play defense. Just in case you didn't know, in this game, he posted the team best 93.6 defensive rating in this game. He was phenomenal. And on top of that, James Harden checked back in at the 8-minute mark when the Rockets were down 94-91 and then scored or assisted on the final 13 Houston Rockets points and closed out the Thunder. He had a floater, an assist, another assist, a layup, another assist, the game-winning block, and then the W. Not including, obviously, the Robert Covington free throw. But that is closing out a team. That is James Harden answering the call. Even though he himself was not pouring in buckets offensively this game, even though he didn't have it, he stepped up to the plate in a big way on the defensive side of the basketball and absolutely exercised some playoff demons in this game 7. Also, this is now Chris Paul's 10th loss in a row with Scott Foster officiating his games. So the Rockets have now finished their 0-7 skid with Scott Foster as their referee, but Chris Paul's skid stays strongly alive. So hopefully that trend continues when he gets traded to the Miami Heat or the Milwaukee Bucks next season. Scott Foster goes over there and has his way with Chris Paul again. But the refereeing in this one didn't really feel super. I mean, it still felt like the Rockets were kind of getting shafted at points with the refereeing call. Can we talk about that call earlier on in the game where Scott Foster calls it from across the floor as the ball is going, you know, the offensive foul, the shove on James Harden of Lou Dort as he's kind of falling out of bounds, and Scott Foster's on the opposite end of the court making that call. So let's not pretend for a second that it was a pretty game, that the officials were, you know, on the side of the Houston Rockets. I think they still made things a little difficult in this game, but the Rockets persevered. They overcame this, and now they have a date with the LA Lakers, which, you know, after, you know, staring down the barrel of dealing with Chris Paul and the Oklahoma City Thunder, it's not that great having to now go up against LeBron James and Anthony Davis over there with the, you know, the La La squad. But my goodness, just, I'm tremendously proud of this team and what they were able to take care of in this Game 7. They had all the pressure in the world on them to go out there and to succeed. And now they've given themselves a chance to go into the second round and really do something here. And I'll circle back really quick to Eric Gordon, who, again, if this is really Eric Gordon coming back to some semblance of his usual self, then the Rockets have a really good shot against the Lakers. I mean, Russ has not looked 100% back to his normal self yet, but he's had, of three games so far, he's had two quality games, in my opinion. I think the game five, even though his shooting wasn't all the way there, he had a quality game in that one because he didn't turn the ball over, generated a lot of offense. And then this game specifically, kind of being the steadying force offensively during the gaps of the game where James Harden just did not have it offensively, and, you know, kind of filling in the gaps between the barrage of three-point shooters for this team, Russell Westbrook did a great job. And I think he's going to be able to take advantage of the LA defense just like he did twice earlier this season. They don't suddenly have a guy who can guard Russ. So, but you tip your cap to the Thunder, you know, for this series and how well they played. They had a chance. They had chances down the line in this Game 7 to tie it up, to take the lead, and the Rockets played some stellar defense and the Thunder missed some shots. And, you know, Chris Paul had that floater right there that just missed off the front iron, you know, that would have given the Thunder the lead actually at that point. I think I'm remembering off the top of my head, but just this game was nerve-wracking, dialed up to 11, and the Rockets answered the call. Even though James Harden did not do it offensively, he was absolutely a driving force defensively in this game. And thankfully, other guys stepped up. You know, other shooters had timely shots, timely rebounds, stepping up defensively. There were some moments down the line where I started getting worried, like the Eric Gordon turnover in the final, you know, minute or two of the game, you know, the really bad pass that he had. There were some questionable spots here and there, but neither team played their best game, and it became one of those grinded out games where whoever is going to execute the best down the stretch wins. And so far this series, for three games, that was the Thunder. But the Rockets did it in game seven, in the game that mattered the most, the game that was going to send one of these two teams home and out of the Disney bubble. And the Rockets came out on top, and their championship aspirations are still very much alive. So I am exhausted, emotionally, physically, mentally exhausted and spent. Probably not as much as the Houston Rockets, but I am right there with them. And I look forward to watching this team take on the LA Lakers in the second round. So, as always, thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.